You know what? What is something where we couldn't?
Oh, yeah. I'm down there. Yeah, that's where I heard it from.
Thank you.
Testing.
Yeah. They're recording real low, but it's picking up. And you're right on the mic, aren't you?
Testing. Test.
Okay.
Can you hear me? How's it sound now? Shouldn't have to yell at them.
No. She already has it with the refrigerator.
Testing. 1, 2. Test.
Good. I'm good. Now I cannot hear.
Okay.
You hit just a little bit. Okay.
Another beautiful day in this great city. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Are there any public comments on anything you want to talk about before we get started? Everybody don't talk at once. Okay. Topics for discussion are strategic planning update and the water reclamation facility number 2, grant award. Matt, do you want to do something before we start?
I do, yes, ma'am. Can everyone hear me okay? Am I speaking loud enough? There is a bid protest for segment B of the Magna project that has been protested up to level 3, which is a city council review. They are requesting that council hear it. So I got a couple dates I want to submit to you for your consideration. The protest will take probably about 2 hours. Approximately. So with your permission, what I'd like to do is give you a couple of recommended times and get your feedback so we can go ahead and work through Angel's office to get the actual meeting set and, of course, noticed. The times that city's legal team, the protest team are available are Friday morning before noon or Tuesday morning or at Tuesday's city council meeting. So Friday morning before noon, Tuesday morning, or at Tuesday's regular city council meeting.
Well, I don't think I want to be there all night Tuesday. I don't know how long the agenda is.
I'm with you.
I prefer Friday morning.
Friday morning would be fine.
Friday morning.
What time would council prefer to have this at?
I'm not available till after 10.
9.
Yeah. It's going to take 2 hours?
Give or take.
Okay.
Yeah, can you...
You're not available until 10?
Correct.
10's fine with me, or 10:30?
15 minutes to get
okay.
There.
Okay. So
10:30 maybe?
10,
to give Jay time to travel?
10:15 work for you, Jay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Council President, with your permission, we'll set the time for this Friday at 10:15 to hear the bid protest for segment B of the Magna project. Okay? All right, thank you.
Okay, first thing, we're going to discuss the strategic planning update.
Thank you, Madam President. Appreciate the opportunity to keep council advised of the work that's underway on the city's four strategic goals to make sure that they're operationalized and that we are putting into alignment all the things necessary to be successful. We have with us today David Harwood, who has really been, if you will, our mentor, our guide as we go through this process. And with your permission, what I'd like to do is turn the time over to Dave, who will be assisted by Deneen, to take us through the presentation this morning.
Good afternoon. There you go. All right. We've got just over an hour for this subject, and I'm going to have my brief presentation in about 15. The rest of the time will be to dive a little deeper. A couple weeks ago, Jeanine presented the strategic plan. Today, we want to dive down to each of the cabinet-level members' business plans to review their measures. So some things on the screen you'll see, the highlight that I want to talk about is the strategic plan measures and results. As I mentioned, the cabinet-level measures and results, where we're at, pushing this down to the department level, an update on the employee evaluation, update on our customer satisfaction survey, and talk a little bit about your expectations for the next strategic planning session. I believe it's scheduled January 2014. So with that, one of the things you hear me say often is that organizations have this desire to be role model. They want to buy the best. They want to be successful. They may even create a strategy, but the implementation of that strategy is very difficult to do. It's one of the things that separates you as an organization, because you have this plan, you review the plan on a regular basis, you see those gaps, you address those areas and try to improve. This is part of a broader process. So when you think about a strategic planning process, it really begins with step one, with these inputs. And in most organizations, you have to do review of last performance. You look at what's coming at you from an environmental perspective, your SWOT analysis. Step two, that creates the establishment of your mission, vision, where you go. For that, your strategic goals, as Lee talked about, your associated measures and action plans. Step four, you deploy that. That gets dropped down to each of the cabinets in the department. And then finally, step five is this monthly business review, where you evaluate your performance, where you gaps, and improve performance. So to do that, we have this one-page strategy map. So I'm going to test the audience of staff. And we have how many goals?
Four.
Okay. And those goals that you established, it's been over a year, hasn't it?
Last January.
So these four goals that you established during our that offsite is a strategy. You're aligned in a certain direction. So I just want to review that really quickly. So we begin at the base with wanting to be an economic hub. We want to drive business to our community and folks to our neighborhoods. And with that income we get from taxes, we're going to be fiscally responsible for that revenue. And with that revenue, we're going to provide operational excellence with our services and then ultimately make this quality of place. So we'll demonstrate or manifest itself out in great neighborhoods. And if we're at a great quality of place, that's going to lead to an economic hub, which creates that flywheel. That's our strategy. So it's getting better and better all the time. We have this one-page strategic plan, but now we've got to operationalize it. And so with that, we drop it down our goals to each of the cabinet levels, and then ultimately down to the departments. If each of those leaders have the exact same, how many goals?
Four
goals, but their associated measures and action plans can be slightly different on how they contribute to achieve those outcomes. The other thing we talk about is we need to make sure that these goals and measures get cascaded all the way down to the individual employee. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So let's talk about kind of our the successes you've had the last couple of years and where we think we want to take you in the future. So in fiscal year 12 and 13, at the council level, you created your four strategic goals, created a strategic plan. At the cabinet level, we started developing the plan, and that's what we're going to show you today. Also in 2013, started to develop a new DER, and we started the development of customer satisfaction survey process. In 14, this is kind of where we're suggesting to take it. At the council level, you've got your goals and associated measures. We want to begin to formulate what are those short and long-term targets. What's the projection of where you want to be? Also want to begin talking about telling your story. So as we go through the measures today, and you look at that, you're going to see a tremendous amount of accomplishments and successes. So best practices, how do you frame these successes out that you can tell your story to the community in a succinct way that's meaningful to the neighborhoods? Cabinet level, 2014, we've been working on the business plans. 14, we started implementing them officially. And at the director level, they're already starting doing this, so just because it's in 14, they're already thinking this way. Some of them are well along the process, but at the director level, the development of business plans. This fiscal year coming up, we want to implement entirely the customer satisfaction survey process. We have several meetings going on, and that's going extremely well. The other thing I'd like to see is kind of formalize your process improvement that you do. So when targets are below established goals, there's a method of how you evaluate and improve that to get the target where you want it to be. Other longer-term strategies we'd like to take in 15. The director level, their business plans have been implemented, fully ready to go. I wanted to highlight here. In 2014, the implementation of the new evaluation has a much stronger alignment to the four strategic goals. In 15, as I mentioned, the director level business plan, we're going to continue to refine the employee. So not only is it aligned to the goals, but we envision it in their evaluations. We'll also have associated measures and targets that they'll be responsible for and action plans to be completed in that fiscal year. We want to begin thinking about, in 2015, some kind of employee engagement strategy and what that looks like. We'll give you lots of options to consider that. Another best practice is you develop your strategic plans, and it's being cascaded through the organization, is you want to make sure that you align your recognition and your reward system, what? Back to the goals and the associated measures. So that's one of the really great opportunities that if we want to provide exceptional customer service, and when folks achieve that level of service, they should be rewarded and recognized. But it's a direct correlation. And then finally, in 2006, what this kind of frames out, what it looks like, is you'll have a council strategic plan that will have been perfected over a number of years. You'll have a cabinet-level business plans and department-level business plans that, again, have gone through several cycles of improvement, improvements of measures, revealing the targets. At the employee level, fully aligned, the evaluations to the goals, associated measures, and action plans, a customer employee engagement surveys, and a really robust process improvement, recognition, and reward system. And again, ties everything back together to the, how many goals? Four strategic goals. Make sense? Anyone add or council want to comment on our thoughts? One? You like it? It's going to work. We've heard you, individually and collectively, and what was important to you. So we're trying to put these pieces in place and then create a strategy where they build upon each other. So there's an alignment. We don't want to create something that we start too soon, and then we find out it's misaligned. The ladder's on the wrong wall. So it's very thoughtful in our strategy, and it really built upon the successes that you have achieved, Matt and the cabinet has achieved, and the directors and all the employees. And it's based upon this idea of celebrating successes and how can we do a better job of communicating the great work that's being done out to the community.
Yeah, as we've said before, you know, council leads and staff follows, and council led by establishing the four goals, and now staff's following by putting into place the business plans for each group, for each function.
So here's what we're going to do. Jane, if you'll help me, is we're going to go through real briefly the strategic plan that you did a couple weeks ago, and then we want to dive in to each of the cabinet level measures. And they're going to be available to answer any questions that you have relative to performance. What I'm really asking you to do, this is what we're going to do at the end, is what are these pieces of information we need to grab and to begin to tell your story? You know, what are these successes?
Are there department level measures
not
at
yet.
This point?
Not yet. Your cabinet level right here.
But do they exist
yes.
currently?
Within that are department level measures.
Do we get a copy of that?
We have.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay. But I didn't say who it was from.
Okay, on the first page, I'm watching you guys, making sure you don't go to the next pages. Here we go. I'm watching you.
I'm flipping, man. Do not turn the page.
All right, so let's just look this over really quickly. You saw this a couple weeks ago. Any here the measures that you want to discuss? As you look at the measures and the outcomes on the first page, what are you guys most proud of that you think the public's not aware of? Anything jump out at you?
A lot of green on there.
The thing that we're proud of that...
public is aware of?
Yeah.
Commercial permits process through that.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? So year to date, it's at what? 70? You got to help me on this.
Okay. Hopefully.
73%. 73%. So 73% year-to-date, commercial...
He's in another meeting.
Commercial permits process lasted one day.
He would know, yeah.
Come on up, Pete. So in 73% of all commercial permits are processed in less than one day. And so that's one of those opportunities that we can really get out in front to communicate to the public that while they may have a perception, the reality is an incredible amount of good work that's going on. Where were we? Anyone ask? Well, we like the feedback that goes along with that from the customer performance satisfaction. We'd like to get immediate feedback. If there are problems, then we can address those immediately and follow up with phone calls. Try to make sure that we're meeting their needs and making sure that things are better for the public. It helps us too with our staff to get a better indication that, hey, this is customer service. I mean, they are the customer, in fact, the customer.
I mean, I know that's a year-to-date number, but I mean, look, just in comparison to a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, that 73% is what?
I'm going to guess. Because of the change, it's probably close.
I mean, were we 3 days 2 years ago? Were we 2 days 2 years ago? Were we? Yep.
We were removed 1 day, I would think, but not quite as high. I'm not sure what the
exact
would be. But we're really, there are a lot of variables that go into that. We think we can at least make this number and get a little higher. Set the goal a little higher.
So one day processing is just a way of life. It's just a matter of how successfully we're going to continue to hit that.
Well, you know, when we first started this, we were kind of throwing out a target. What's their target that they set almost a year ago? What did you say? So now we look at the performance, you say, they can hit 60.
Right.
So now in the conversation that Matt is having, we say, okay,
let's push it.
Here's my contract with you. Is my expectation is for you to deliver X target and be consistent. And if it falls below that target, that's where it gets into that process improvement thing we talked about. But it's clearly communicating, here's the measure, here's the target, I'm here to help you. What can we do to achieve it? Yeah.
The outlier variable is a big complicated project that you can't possibly do that in one day efficiently. But all the ones we can, we want to get done, okay?
I'm going to throw a couple up.
And to follow up on that, these are permits, building permits for commercial buildings, correct? Is there a way, it may be so varied, you can't really follow it, but is there a way you could somehow look at the timeline on COs that we're giving? Because, I mean, different buildings take different amounts of time, but, you know, one of the things that I hear from some builders is it's just sometimes just there's just so many things that need to get done to get a CO, and it's just sometimes very
to do that.
But I don't know how you could make it really accurate or true or reflect what you're doing.
Yeah, the nuance of it's going to be difficult to follow because if you're,
maybe 5 square footage of the building or something like that. Or, you know, the CO for a FedEx building as opposed to, you know, 10,000 square foot widget shop, it's different with the whole wall.
Because we keep working for environment and come up with kind of subcategories like that.
Depends on the size of the meter going on the side of the building.
All right, next one I think is really good. I think we had a great meeting with the chief and the mayor, with the police department. I think police response time is exceptional. And they were able to share some information about, you know, your level of performance and your investment in the community. And while most organizations, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, kind of look at an average response time of 5 minutes, you've gone beyond that, if you're looking at 3.5 minutes and doing an exceptional job. Same thing with fire, amazing response time. Most communities kind of look at the 8 minutes, you know, kind of thing. You're looking at the 5 minutes, what you need to do. Work repairs, what about that? What do you think? Someone calls you up and says, hey, I got a pothole. How quickly is it done in 1 day? 2 days, excuse me. Year-to-date, 96%. So, you know, I'm emphasizing this because you're always going to get the citizens that is potentially the outlier that says, hey, what happened? And you can sympathize and you can apologize, but the data gives you the opportunity to say, but I can assure you that 97% of the time, we do it within 1 day. When we do, you know, and we're going to take your feedback and look for opportunities to do even better. Other things. Susie, to your point, if you go up to the quality of place where you see the customer satisfaction,
sure.
What this is going to be is a roll-up at each of the kind of the cabinet level, if you will.
Okay.
And then as we dive into the business plans, you'll see the subsets of them.
Right.
And when you get to the departments, you're going to get even more detail. So at this level, the department, you kind of see that overall index. When we get to the department level, you'll see the actual individual questions.
Okay. So what at this point, what departments are rolling up into that customer satisfaction?
The one-stop permitting center and customer service office.
Okay, so that's all that we're seeing right now.
This close to our brothers in the fire department and Parks and Rec.
And I just would like to say, just generally, when we do those surveys, for me personally, I would like to see that survey put into every person's hand that we interact with. Not necessarily everybody that we provide service to, but if there's an interaction with the public, they get a survey, whether we provided service or not.
So. Oh, I agree. It's, you know, it's that transaction. Did a service? How did we do it?
Right. And sometimes you can't do a service. I mean, sometimes there's a prohibition or whatever for you providing the service, but that person still needs to get the survey. You know, how polite were we to tell you that we couldn't provide that service? You know, how did we do? And how was that interaction, right, even if we did not provide a service?
So what Jenny and I are doing is we're looking at these departments. We're cascading down that play your part thing that we talked about, professional, accurate, responsible, timely. And so as we work with each of the departments, they're crafting their questions a little bit so it's aligned to that, and giving one or two additional questions that may be specific to their area. So like I said, this is going to grow rapidly.
Right.
And our target is by the end of this fiscal year 14 coming up, we're going to have it down.
Okay. And just to add to that, the internal support departments are also actively doing this, and we'll be meeting actually with budget finance this afternoon to get theirs going, and we'll meet with HR and risk because we want to make sure that internally we're meeting one another's needs as well.
Right.
If I get, this is a question that is sidetracking this, then tell me.
Would that ever happen?
No, I don't think I do that. We got all this good, exciting green dots all over this thing.
Not dots.
Squares. How do you market this? And I'll say this internally and externally. And internally is defined by City of Ocala residents, and external obviously being people who do not live in the City of Ocala. And Ocala's perception, I know perception is reality, but how do we benchmark? We're kind of benchmarking against ourselves right here. We got this thing, and we were here, now we're here, yay. All right? The general, you go out there on the sidewalk and go ask somebody and look at all the great things we're doing, and either they don't, and a lot of it's maybe apathy, but when I look at this and response times, you know, police, versus Sheriff's Department, Cal Fire Rescue, Marion County Fire Rescue, OEU versus, you know, Progress Energy, so when we start, because again, just how do we raise the perception of the City of Ocala? It's great that we're doing all this, and I think we are doing great. How do you get the message out?
I think that's our next opportunity, and that tell your story. We want to end the day talking about how we do that. And I think a lot of it has to come from who's the audience. So if I'm talking to potential businesses, I'm going to be talking about utilities and water and capacity. You know, if I'm talking to a neighborhood, I'm talking about, you know, response times and safety. And so the challenge is how do you make it succinct and meaningful and hit it right on target. And as we move forward, Matt and I will be giving you some examples from other organizations that seem to have done that really well. Their discipline is saying less and actually saying more. You know, so it's how do you tell your story with as little as possible to have the biggest impact.
Well, to what Daniel's saying, I mean, brings up a good point. You know, a lot of times people will ask me, well, why should I live in the City of Ocala? Let me show you why. Response time, please. Fire. What's this other one? Electric reliability, uptime. And just on and on and on. That's why.
Well, and I would add to that, and how does that train? Because a lot of people, it's so much more expensive because we got, you know, whatever. The perception is it's more expensive to live in the city than it is the county. And so how do those response times affect your pocketbook? Because it does. And, you know, how? And that's the next phase of that story. Yes, the response times are better, and that has an effect on your homeowner's insurance, your this, your that. And so it's that whole picture, and how is that whole thing better in the city?
But it is that just reflect your pocketbook and
right.
It literally affects your life.
Right.
Your and our ability to tell that story is the input to the economic hub. How well we can communicate that to drive action, to bring your business here, to move to our neighborhoods, to stay in our neighborhoods. That's our challenge next. So you're going to see this theme the rest of the year, beginning today, that we begin to tell your story that talks about that quality of place and the inputs from your constituents this will be a process we'll
right.
get better at.
And I'm going to just hit on it because it's, I think it's the one that we didn't, is the percentage of days we've exceeded the water quality standards. You know, why should I get rid of my septic tank and my well? Well, here's a good reason. You know, I mean, that's a big deal. And we're across the board. And, you know, when you look at it, you're like, oh, Jeff can go home now because it's done. But, you know, it takes work to maintain that. And I think that's a big
yes, sir.
That's a big deal for us as well.
All right, I'm going to move you along. You ready? Flip the page. Okay, so let's, here you have Catherine's areas of responsibility.
Yeah.
And on the top under quality of place, you see where you begin to see the expansion of the customer service. So on fire, they're looking at suppression and prevention. Parks has got events and park satisfaction, program satisfaction. So you kind of see now within Catherine, it's starting to expand a little more detail so that that roll-up.
Okay. I'm going to go back to my departments again. So does each department have more things that they are measuring than just what got rolled up to the division head, or what is this, cabinet member?
The answer is yes.
Okay.
And what we're trying to do that cascading down is
right.
we wanted to make sure, pick on Catherine, is Catherine needed to be totally in sync with the city manager. Here are my measures, here are my targets. So with that process, now she turns
right.
and say, okay, I've got chief, and I got, you know, and this. Right. And so now the past 6 months, we've already been working with the department heads crafting that.
Right.
And so as we finish out, you know, 14, it's going to be done. So you will be seeing those documents in this process of, hey, does this make sense, or are we just totally off? You
right.
can keep us at the right level.
Because, I mean, there. I'm just for the fire department, for example. There's a lot of stuff that goes into response time, which is, you know, how many days do we have a short staff? You know, how many days? You know, there's just a ton of things that go into making that response time that I would think at the department level, you would be measuring. And so I really would love to see that detail. Okay, I know y'all are saying no. I mean, I would love to see what those things are and what's going into getting a response time down. I mean, it's got to be, there's got to be five or six things that are primary to making that number what it is.
And your point is well taken. You know, there's a saying that, you know, if I have no target, I got no problem. The second you assign a target, you got the potential, you know, green or red, drives focus and action. So attempting to achieve response time for fire loss, now they're talking about it. They say, okay, what could we do
right.
to make it reduce? What's the most common cause?
Right.
How do we eliminate that cause? Where is that cause occurring? And so much of what we're trying to do this next year, because remember I said this process improvement? It's driving to every employee in the organization. It's just incredible drive to make everything better all the time. And you hear Matt talk about innovation. This is what Matt's talking about. It's the innovation. If I'm here, this is our current level performance. And through leaders say we want to go over here, that space is innovation. What must we do to close that gap? So the strategy that the city manager had for a number of years of creating that emphasis and giving folks the tools, be always looking at ways to improve, it's a mindset in the organization.
At our last senior leadership meeting, staff members stood up and reviewed their business plan, and then the directors and managers stood up and talked about the activity that they've been doing to address these measures. So it's red, or it's not really where we want it to be. So what are we doing? And then everyone stood up and talked about what they were doing. So it's driving activity that's like days that focus, but it's focused on these goals. And for me, it's really neat to kind of see the connections that are being made. And that'll continue to happen as we cascade it, you know, further and further into the organization.
So cool things that are happening. You see a reduction in structured fires. You see great fire response. You see work orders completed in less than 2 days. One thing that's interesting, they're very tolerant of me. So once a month I come visit you guys and I meet with the city manager and the cabinet and we go through this. And it's really my job kind of as the coach and mentor, where are you at, what are you doing, how are you going to close this gap? And so I give you a funny example, like residential misses, you see it was 212. Well, it really wasn't 212, it was how they were calculating the data. The reality was it was probably hardly anything, but it was on it was after a big storm, and they were counting all the trees and brush that weren't picked up. So, you know, through this conversation, well, that's not the extent of the measure. We're really looking for the true residential pickup. Anything else under captains? How's Catherine doing? Yeah, great job.
All the cabinet level people are doing a great job, and of course they in turn are cascading this down to their direct reports. But this is a work of art. It's going to take some time to, you know, massage it out to make sure it's right. And we're excited to, of course, have a chance to present this to you today in order to get your feedback.
So one last time to Susie's point. So you can see, I'm going to pick on the chief. So under Catherine's, she negotiated with Matt, and she negotiated with the fire chief. Here are two measures. If I had two measures, what would they be? This is what they selected. Now, on his business plan, he's going to have all those other subsequent measures that lead up to achieving those. And then you'll be able to dive down and see how they're doing. All right, flip the page. Let's go see Brother Mark. Starting on the top, quality of place. You see where they're starting to identify and segment their customers. They're looking at permit, design, airport, code satisfaction. And on the code, we're not necessarily asking the person that was being reported on. It's the satisfaction with the person that made the call. That's who we're going to be focusing on.
Well, I would like both of those.
Okay.
I mean, I read a story once about a gentleman that got stopped by a police officer, got a ticket, had to pay a fine, and then got a survey. Was the officer respectful? Were they professional? So even if you're looking at the person who's being reported on, I mean, that person needs to have, although they might not like the outcome, how did we do in handling the situation? Did we treat you respectfully? Did, you know, were you given the information that you needed to correct the problem or whatever that was? I think both sides of that need to be getting surveys.
So did you look through this? Anything you want to... I think a couple that's worth mentioning back to the code is the average days of code compliance.
Sure.
Look at the improvement. Go to October when we kind of started this at 20 days. And again, with this relentless focus, monthly review, how can we improve the process? They're down to 3.78 days.
And yeah, and I'll go back to my, and that needs to be happening, making sure that we are being respectful of everyone that's in that process. You know, we don't want to get it down to 3.78 and then get the reputation of we're mean and relentless. You know, we need to do that with the reputation of we handled it respectfully, professionally, and got it taken care of quickly.
You are I love your questions. They always expand upon. That is the reason why you have a balanced set of goals. So, are we efficient?
Right.
And is the customer happy? And what does it cost? So, by having your four goals, create that balanced set of measures to make sure that if we push too much over here, is the potential of a negative impact over here.
Right.
Well, I mean, I know that Chip sent out a couple nice letters to begin with before they go any further, so I know he's doing a good job. I'll stick up for him because I have a lot of interaction with him. I know he's doing a great job. As far as the gentleman that got the ticket, that's one of the things we need to talk about is everyone with respect, whether
it's
the
first absolutely
murder or the ticket or whatever. I know that I've been out with our police officers and the dope dealers and the prostitutes said they hate me, but I asked them, I said, but when you get arrested, are they nice to you? Oh, they're very nice. Yeah. But we hate you.
That goes back to our customer service standards, which is to play your part. Professional, accurate response to time. Anything else on Mark? We'll move on. All right, flip the page. Still trying. So here we have a support services, accounting, purchasing, budget, and grants. And as Janine said, we're looking at implementing kind of an internal customer satisfaction process. These actually work really, really well and do tremendous to create relationships and communication between support and operation.
Hey, you and Jeff can go home.
All right, let's flip the page. All the utilities, they provide water, sewer, electric, and customer service department. Give you a minute to look over those.
Survey a number of years ago. I don't know if we still have that around somewhere, but it'd be interesting to pull that out. Let's see how we're doing.
It was in 2008.
Was it 2008?
Really?
Yeah. Seems like it's a lot longer ago than that, but maybe not.
Questions, comments?
Do we have control over the water main leaks and the service line leaks? And is that a measure versus how long it takes us to repair the leaks?
Actually, we do have somewhat control.
We have some
control. And that is with our R&R work that we do in the rehabilitation of our line. So, we set our targets. If you look at water main leaks and service line leaks,
yeah.
We set those. You know, we're trying to push ourselves a little bit here. And what we're trying to do is on the water main leaks is that we're going in when we do contracts.
Mm-hmm.
We're making sure that we put contract language in there that backs us up. We're also, when we go out into the field and we do surveys and we do our inspections,
mm-hmm.
we're trying to hold it, you know, to a little higher standard, because the idea on this is that the more leaks we have, obviously, the more unaccounted for water that we're wasting. So
right.
That's what we're trying to do. So we're setting up our pretty high.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
So let's kind of go there. So what's, I think, a testament to staff is as we started this process and we said, okay, what's your target? I mean, they really set these aggressive targets. And so you start seeing red, but the reality is the performance is really, really good. So one of the improvements we're going to do for next year is we're going to maintain the target. But we're going to define the target is the level of performance you got to get. If you don't hit that target, the fire department's being called. We got to get in there and fix it. We're also going to create a stretch goal. So by having the target where we've got to be and a stretch, the stretch says that's what you want to improve to. Follow me?
No. Yep.
And now, the other thing is for demonstration purposes. So, if Janine is the stretch and I'm the target, if those numbers are exactly the same, from a policy perspective, you're saying we're good with the level of service. But when we say, here is the target, and that's where we want to be, that gap is your budget conversation. That's how this starts getting funded into the CIPs, where do you want to invest, what must you do to close that gap. So some of that gap is in terms of process improvement, absolutely. Some of those things are capital investments. But it's policy, you decide, is the target and stretch together, or how far is the gap?
Well, so if the target is, if we don't hit it, the fire department's called. Then that's sort of a minimum standard. I mean, that's a minimum standard.
Yeah.
We have to do that. I mean, we absolutely have to do that. So I don't know if target's the right word at that point.
Yeah,
but you all can think about that. But, yeah.
The reason we're going to that is we don't want to get people complacent when they see red.
Right.
The reality is, if you see red, this is a process improvement team that's getting launched to see how we can get back on targets.
Right.
Anything else under Larry's? All right, let's flip the page. All right, there's support. We've got public communications, IT, risk, facilities, and court. So each of them were asked to provide two or three measures that line up to the standard. Questions, comments?
Those quality of place measures, the IT satisfaction, the facilities, those were already in place and they can now connect data. Significant amount of time if you're interested in that, but those were already in place, so we're going to work for HR, risk, and then obviously we're going to be in a very much of a
There's no question, let's switch gears here a bit. And to Janine's help, is, you know, as you begin to look at the data, you see the level of performance. Let's go back to the data point. How do we tell the story? So we need to begin thinking that strategy of not only the content, the format, the style, the frequency, you know, what are these ways that we can begin to tell your story so that folks understand that their investment and what it's producing. So now I kind of open up to Gene and Matt. Council, what are some of your ideas?
I, you know, we've talked about customer surveys, so we've sent this thing out, and what did we say, 2008? Because we had pretty comprehensive, I mean, it was citywide, I mean, as far as top to bottom customer survey that we sent out, wasn't it? I mean, it was covered like everything. But then the number of people that responded, so I go and, you know, your ultimate choice, if you live in the city of Ocala, obviously, let's start with you choose to live in the city of Ocala. Now, once you choose to live in the city of Ocala, some of your choices, I won't say go away, but like you're gonna use OEU. All right, thanks for being here. You're gonna use OEU. You're gonna use our police department. You're gonna use, when I say use our fire department, but that's that you're choosing to go under this umbrella. But having made that choice, when I go and see, I was looking at the commercial accounts. Talking about, I think Sean's was at like 100% on, you know, our commercial accounts. I don't know if it's a rewards program. I don't know if it's a customer. Let's go from survey to appreciation to somebody who's had a business in Ocala. Anything past 10 years, thanks for choosing us, and we've been serving you. We're hitting all these numbers, but, you know, again, I don't know if it is a reward. Do they get a, you know, a free, you know, free pickup once a month. I don't know what it is, but somehow sort of getting the word of mouth. And again, I go back to perception. People choose to live outside of Ocala. And I may be wrong, but I wonder what our perception is of those who live outside of Ocala as they look in. Because you hear about the OEUs, and you hear about this, and you hear about that, and all these types of things. That a customer gets not only recognized, but rewarded for choosing our service, for choosing to be in Ocala. And they, because in that, you know, it starts to turn it. Man, you know, I've been here for 20 years and I'm always paying my bills all the time. You know what happened? You know, Larry Novak showed up and said, thanks for being a customer for the last 20 years and next month's on us kind of stuff. How that works, I don't know, but just go beyond simply asking a survey to a recognition of a customer.
So many businesses do that, don't they? Yeah. It's easier to keep the customer than to try to recruit a new one. A couple things to think about, you know, is just a quick question about Daniel said. Let me ask you this question. Is that something we'd want to put on the CEP website so when others are looking at coming to Ocala, that they want to see, or...
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back, we go back again to our number one goal, economic hub. We're witnessing with FedEx, right? I mean, FedEx is big time. I mean, they've chosen Ocala, so we're here, and we're going to see a lot of reciprocal stuff that just goes from that. That's a good thing. So sort of from the outside world, as we sell this, we can have, you know, when so Mark, for example, or whoever, Larry Cindy, so, hey, FedEx is on the phone. Why Ocala? Well, did you? And just what you're talking about becomes a way of life. Well, did you know that we're you know, boom, boom, boom. We're going through this checklist. It just becomes a way of, and it becomes the vocabulary of every employee. That did you know kind of thing. And so, I mean, absolutely, Ken. That we're kind of selling to the FedEx, and we're selling all over. We're selling Ocala to the world, right? If we're the economic hub, maybe we don't have to sell ourselves to Marion County. You know, maybe we don't have to get people around here feeling good. So we're trying to annex, or we're trying to expand the footprint of Ocala. We're doing it through our economic, that we become the, you know, the synergy of Marion County, again, that economic hub, to where, it, you know, it just, it just continues to build and build and build to where, not that people don't have a choice, but Ocala matters. It matters. It's for a reason, and we strengthen our little portion of the world. We strengthen Marion County. Marion County needs us, and that type of thing. We're talking about the interstate, and so again, it just goes back to that economic hub kind of thing. But again, I'll go back to satisfying or rewarding those who are making that choice to be here, and let some sort of that word of mouth. I saw, you know, flipping through today, and there's a letter to the editor about our charter.
Oh yeah, stuff. The charter amendments. Yeah,
just got ripped to shreds on our charter amendments that we're doing. And how? I mean, we know. I mean, how many public meetings did we have? How many things we're trying and wrestling and with. Even Jimmy telling us, you know, we can just change this by a vote of council on a lot of items. And no, we want citizens to be involved. We want the voters to be involved. And even then, when you let the voters be involved, you're still getting ripped to shreds. So how much of it at the end of the day is, I mean, how much are you really going to change that perception? But again, going back to the economic hub where people just simply realize, maybe they don't even realize, maybe they don't even care. Maybe at the end of the day, people don't even kind of care. Good government maybe works when all's kind of quiet. You know, the expectation from the citizen is you just expect that somebody's watching. You just expect, the fire department is there. You expect the police department is there. You expect your water to come on. You expect your lights to do this. And how do we, you know, start gauging that? Again, we go back to the FedExes of the world where they see a value in being here. It will bleed down to the employee who's going to be sitting on a forklift, who's driving our streets, who's shopping at Publix, who's going all through those types of things. So I guess, can't go back to your thing, I mean, yes, that there is a visible, not just a website, I mean, people have a visible scorecard. Listen, we know you got a lot of choices. You got a lot of places that you can live. You can live wherever, but let me tell you, if you choose to live here, let me tell you how we compare, and let me tell you why this is a good choice for you.
In the customer business, you know, folks always talk about customer satisfaction. Well, if you have satisfied customers, you've lost customers. It's all about customer engagement. So folks that are satisfied are always looking for that city or that product that's going to engage them and wow them. So you wow them by providing information they didn't know. So if I'm a business owner, you can imagine where you know, one page glossy, you know, it's being marketed as, where do you go, marketed to, you know, potential businesses. It's one page, you flip it up, here are the four goals, and here are the outcomes that the city's achieved, and here are some accomplishments. And just like you say, here's why you should do it. Boom, 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 boom. Now this could be the residential one. You know, why should you consider moving to our neighborhood? So every audience is different. And what Matt and I will do in the next several months, we'll provide you some examples of what other cities have done to tell that story to drive action.
If I may, I'll go ahead, Susan.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, you look at the utility outages and you know, we can decrease that or whatever, but like for me as an example, I've always lived in the city of Ocala. I expect that my power is not going to be off very long because it just never is. And so you just live with that. And so you don't understand what it is like in other places. You know, so my outage is an hour a month or whatever it is that they listed there. I don't know that other people in other places have their power out for longer periods of time unless someone tells me that. You come to expect it. And so if someone's not sort of giving you that story and telling you that story, you just come to expect good service because that's what you've always known. And I suspect that someone that grew up in Ocala, that's lived here all their life, they just know that their power isn't off much, but they don't realize what that's like for other communities that don't have the service level.
And we need to begin providing that visual presentation that says, here's the level that you're doing, here's what the industry average is.
Right.
In the absence of that, they just assume, well, this is what everyone's
this doing. That's what everybody is, because that's what it always has been.
Our meeting with the mayor and the police chief, you know, and their pride and their response time and crime clearance rate. And they do this fabulous job,
And when you begin to look at the data relative to others, Ocala is a very special place to be. How many people know that, and how can we begin to continue to spread that word to everyone that knows the great work that's being done?
Let me ask this question, too. I mean, I don't know if we could get the information ourselves, or could we have, well, here's what the same issues are in the county, and here's what they are in the city.
Or, you know, the state. I would say the state. You know, this is Ocala. This is the entire state of Florida. Right. And nationwide or whatever, you know. We can. I'm sure there's data and all that stuff.
There is. There's great opportunity when you begin to say, well, where is the bar?
Right.
Is it the best in the county? Is it going to be the best in the state? Is it going to be the best in the nation? Quick story. A colleague of mine worked with Pinellas County Schools for a number of years, and they're quality official. They had done some amazing stuff to improve academics, and they had been recognized in several awards. And in Pinellas, if you sorted it out between the 67 counties, Pinellas was way over here. And then it, you know, started going down to the rest of the counties in terms of quality of schools. And the person that was working with them wisely woke them up. And that was, when they achieve this level of performance, what do? We can sit back and relax, right?
Right.
You know, what else we got to do? The next chart that she showed her, Florida is 48 out of 50 states in spending per capita in education. That chart, suddenly, they were leaning up at the table, rolling up the sleeves, we've got work to do. And so that whole point of what's your baseline, what's your target, and where do we want to be? That where you want to be is a strategic policy conversation that then drives an investment that, you know, as everyone keeps talking about, that's your competitive advantage that leads to that economic hub. So it's a, you know, just think you're sitting here with this chess game and you're trying to figure out what's my next move that's going to help us in our economic. Well, part of that is actually infrastructure stuff, but the other part is we've got to get the word out, communicate it so that people know.
If I can complement kind of what Susie and Daniel have said, a couple thoughts. In 2008, recall, you know, our rates, unfortunately, were the highest in the state. And perception is reality for most people. Today, for example, I know there's realtors that won't show a house in Ocala because they believe that we still have some of the highest rates in the state of Florida. Perception issue. I'm also aware that many that believe that Ocala is a very expensive place to live. So why not live in the county where it's cheaper? We established a urban services committee that is looking exactly at the cost, comparing what it costs to live in the county versus what it costs to live in Ocala. And the early results of that work suggest that in some cases it's actually cheaper to live in Ocala than is the county. In other cases, you're maybe $200-$300 more expensive to live in the city than it is in the county. But very interesting data that will help us drive, I think, a factual-based conversation.
Are you serious that there are realtors in this community that would not show a house in the city of Ocala?
Yep, because I've talked to them all the time.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm telling you. You were talking about a rate card or whatever that we do. I mean, the Marion County Board of Realtors. I mean, walking right there. And just like, folks, you know your business, you can sell whatever you want to sell. We're just going to tell you the facts. Here's a rate card, and here's a rate card. And so, you know, can we put a little place in the corner of your real estate? How have we got to do it? Because, I mean, I've had, Jay, maybe, yeah, I know I've gotten, because my dad's been in real estate for 30 years. Ain't my dad, I get to fight with my dad. You know? What are you talking about? Well, it's just this perception. Then you have to sit down and you go, did you know? Oh, I didn't know that. All right, and you have to go through. I serve on the board, the TDC board with Tim Pettit. He's, you know, with Curse Off. Same thing. He says, I'm getting hammered in the office here about people almost, you don't want to buy anything in the city of Ocala because, and it's all this, just has nothing to do with nothing. And so when Matt's going around, we're going to, well, listen, did you know? I mean, I've gone twice just in probably the last 3 or 4 years and spoke to the Marion County Board of Realtors just to say, if anybody have any questions, please, and ask, don't just assume that this is what it is. And so it's a great place to start from the residential standpoint, because right there, the real, you know, the real estate market, people are floating in and they somewhere, somehow, they're going to call a realtor and they're going to start asking 100 questions. And getting that some sort of instrument, some sort of tool, some sort of knowledge in that hand to be able to be able to do that. Because it's a reality. And that just goes back to what I asked. It's great that we got all of this, and we should be excited, and we should celebrate, and we should celebrate operational excellence, quality place, and all this stuff.
Did you hear that?
We should celebrate.
Did you hear that?
It's good stuff.
Same with the goals.
But if you talk to 10 people, we probably, I would suggest to you that 7 out of 10 people have a negative feeling. Now, I want to say it's not drastic. It's just, in their mind, could be a little better, right? Could be a little. Now we're over here trying. Wait a minute. We are better. We know we're better. We can prove we're better. How do you cross that? And maybe we never do. But how do we? That's becomes a benchmark. Is, you know, 3 people didn't like us last month. Now there's only 2 people that didn't like us last month. You know, if we going through,
yeah,
going
we won
through,
one.
Yeah, we, you know, we won another one. Over. And I don't know. Yeah, somebody like. But you know, it just. And I don't know. And I mean, to go. I mean, I guarantee, I mean, at least from a counselor, you get emails and requests call, hey, who do I talk to the city about such and such, such and such? You know, I'm always, you know, we all do. Matt, can you please look into XYZ situation? And it goes through the organization. And you'll get, you know, an email back. I did this week from a gentleman has property here in the city. His property, all the rains we've been having the summer, is having some flooding issues that was, you know, hey, I need some help from the city. We went through the process. Staff's been, I don't know, we've been 2.5 week turnaround. His answer's been solved. He's like, and he is a county resident, but he owns property here. He goes, yeah, you know, and he called me and told me, he goes, it's just nice working with the city of Ocala. And thinking, so there's, you know, there's this thing. And I always tell people, as you know, I'm just glad to be in a position to help you. You know, it's not, you know, don't feel good about, you know, thanks for giving us the opportunity. It's, you know, just thanks. So who knows? So maybe from, again, we're going back to ideas, and I don't know, but I think crazy stuff, like I see fire chief sitting here, and there's, chief, how many calls, just over a month, just number of calls, period.
5,000.
Maybe there's 5 of those calls that you personally, just whatever it is, who was involved, who's and a handwritten note to whoever, the people that called 911, you know, I'm glad to be your fire chief. Thanks. I'm glad we were in a position to be able to serve you. If there's anything else, obviously, you know, if there's anything else we can do to come put your house out, I mean, but, you know, just thanks for, I'm glad to be fire chief. Yeah, and Greg, I don't know how, Greg, you know, thank you for breaking the law in our city. I'm glad we were able to arrest you. You know, if there's anything else we can do to arrest you, that's fun. Let us know. Yeah, thanks for being stupid. Greg. Man, I feel good when I break the law. Okay.
Well,
no, I guess. From department heads, Larry,
yeah, that would be great.
Going to, I just fabulous. Noticed in my big world that I was that's servicing fabulous. Ocala. I just wanted to just handwritten, you know, thanks for giving me the opportunity to be able to serve.
To your point, one of the things that the chief is implementing is the day after the fire, you're going to do what?
We're sending the battalion chief back to the site of somebody who suffered loss due to fire. Any questions? Any concerns? Having trouble with insurance? Having an after the fire visit? And oh, by the way, know that it was one of your worst days ever. I'm sorry about that. If you're disturbed, let us know how we did.
So that kind of feedback loop from the transaction was spreading throughout the organization. So whether it's door hangers, you know, after you fixed a pothole or a code, whatever the case may be. What I love about our gap is, you know, instead of a blank slate, you know, now we've got some data. So now our challenge is telling the story. So things like rewarding customers, rewarding businesses, you see some folks that do this pretty well. They actually do their one-page strategic plan, colorful, you know, just a few key measures. They mail it to every business in the city every year. Coral Springs has their slice of the city where they meet, they go over their strategic plan and their input and their outcomes. They have a different document that's mailed to all the residents, you know, every year that talks about the goals and the accomplishments.
your level of performance.
That would be easy to do when businesses turn do their tax certificate. You know, thank you for being a business in the city of Ocala. Here's our plan. Here's our goals. Here's our thing. Thanks for being a part of it.
A new business owner or a new resident comes in. So imagine that, you know, welcome. You know, did you know how you connect with services? How do we make it easy for you? And here are the numbers, all those kinds of things. So the things that, you know, staff are looking at is generating that story that is segmented by key customer groups, business, residential, and looking for ways that we can get the story out. At the same time, we've got to give the story to you too as well. So if you're in a neighborhood meeting and you've got your one-page scorecard, let's go over what the city's goals. The goals are, you know, as a city, we want to be an economic hub, you know, and explain this to them. And with that, we're going to be fiscally sustainable. We're going to provide operational excellence. We're going to have great neighborhoods. Now let's talk about two or three key outcomes. Did you know, we're economic? I mean, this is done in less than 5 minutes. And then suddenly people go, I get it. You've got a strategy. You've got outcomes. You're connected. You're on it. At the same time, you're still going to make mistakes. Absolutely. And when that happens, you profusely apologize. But with the data, you can say, but rest assured, there's great consistency in the level of service that's provided in the city, and we're going to use your feedback to make it even better. I think it's January. We're looking to do this again. And during that meeting, we're going to continue to refine and show you the measures. We'll hopefully be able to provide you some historical data so you can start seeing some trends and a little bit easier establish some short and long-term targets, aligning action plans and budget items to those goals as well, and continue to talk about the communication strategy, telling your story out to the community. So we're anxious for that meeting, you know, and continue to build upon your successes. And I want to make it easier for you to tell your story.
I guess in summary on this topic is, as a city, we're in the outcome business, right? We're about outcomes, driving conclusions. And so if that's the case and you agree with that presumption, well then, in order to be successful, you got to be able to measure those outcomes, right? You can't manage what you can't measure. And so this work is about us trying to figure out how we can better do what it is that we do so we can achieve organizational excellence. Again, council leads, staff follows, council led with the creation of the goals. Now staff's coming behind to operationalize them so that we can become a better organization, not just internally, but for those that we provide services to. Anything else? Are there any other questions, topics, or ideas regarding the strategic plan? Does staff have any comments or suggestions? All right. Let me take this moment to actually compliment staff. They have, as you can imagine, really been the heavy lifters in this project. They've been undertaking Herculean tasks, and my compliments to each and every one of them and their support teams. They've spent countless hours, numerous discussions, trying to fine-tune these measures that are before you. And so my compliments to each and every one of you for doing an outstanding job and for your enthusiasm in doing this work. Madam President, with your permission, what I'd like to do is go ahead and move on to the second item on today's agenda, which is the Water Reclamation Facility Number 2 Grant Award. The reason this is on as a work meeting agenda item is that this is going to be appearing before you during a regular meeting for action. And so we thought we'd take this opportunity to a bit acquaint you with the grant, what it means for the city, and some of the requirements that will be asked of the city before the grant is, of course, given to us. And so with your permission, what I'd like to do is invite Jeff and his team to come up and take us through about a 20-minute discussion about this grant, what it is, why it's important, and what the ask is going to be of City Council at the next meeting.
Thanks, everybody.
not sure why we have to sit down here by ourselves, but I see what you're doing. What I'm going to do today is I'm just going to talk a little bit about the intro, just a little bit about what we're going to do. And then I want to have Ed come talk a little bit about the engineering. You might have to stop me every once in a while. I'm going to get rattled on about it. I'm going to do that. And then Darryl's going to talk about the grant. So the reason we want to come to you today is because of the grant. You guys, the council has to approve the grant before we can take it and send it back to St. John's Water Management District. Darryl will talk about that. But let me first tell you, we thought we were going to have some overheads, but we do have some things to give to you. What we're going to do is, the first picture that you're going to see is an aerial of WRF number 2. It's over by Jerry Reserve again on 24th. And when you look at that aerial, you'll see a bunch of things. You probably don't know what they are. We're going to explain those things to you. But there's some aeration basins and some plant processes and the bigger areas there are just storage tanks. Okay. But over on one corner, you'll see there's three basins, three rectangle basins. Those are the aeration basins that are currently in place. And I'm going to let Ed talk a little bit about those. But what is going on in our plant is we currently meet the permit standards of that plant. What we don't do is for the TMDL process that's occurring throughout the state of Florida, we do not remove enough nitrogen to be in compliance with that upcoming standard. We have to be able to reduce our nitrates by 79%, okay? In order for us to do that, we're going to have to modify the treatment process. We cannot use the current treatment process and get that done, okay? So what we've looked at over the past few years is how to get that done and how much that's going to cost. And a lot of costs have changed over the few years because the more we find out, the more we're able to target what exactly we need to do the treatment process. So it's going to be a two-year process. We are going to get the first part of it done in 2014 at the plant, being able to start reducing nitrates. And then 2015, we're going to finish that process up. Okay. So one of the nice things is if you look on your strategic plan and you go back to the strategic plan, you like being an economic hub and the operational excellence. One of the things on there is what our plant capacities are, right? And also what we're able to do to sustain those. So what we're doing is to meet some of those goals, leaks, and so on and so forth, there's a bunch of upfront work that all departments have to do in order to get some of those goals and meet some of those goals. Okay? So the other day, I don't know if you've seen it in the newspaper, Herschel Venger is the secretary of the DEP and the deputy of DEP, Drew Bartlett, came out and they talked about the grant process, but they really wanted to talk about the effort that Marion County and the city of Ocala are doing to try to reduce the nitrates and what they're going to be doing. So this is not just the city of Ocala that's doing this. Marion County is also doing some things, as well as a lot of other folks in the state of Florida are doing some things to try to control the nutrients. I just want to say one of those things is that this plant is a part of that, okay? If you look at the findings, really 3% of the nitrates really come from wastewater treatment plants. Most of the nitrates are coming from other sources, fertilizers, ag uses, and many other different kinds of sources, golf courses, so on and so forth. But we believe that if we can control the nitrates at the plant, we're going to have a better chance of being able to control the nitrates in the spring because of the amount of flows that we're going to have currently, the amount of flows that we'll be doing in future laws.
Where are we now as far as you're trying to reach 79%? Where are we now on that number?
Well, we've got to reduce the step. We've got to reduce our effluent by 79%.
Okay. So where are we now?
So currently we're probably 31.5 to 35 milligrams per liter, and we want to be less than 3. Okay. Our real goal to the contractor is to be way less than 3, but we're going to try to see if we can get there. And that's at every one of our plants. Right now, you're just seeing what we want to do at WF number 2. We've been working at WF number 3 doing that already this year. We spent some money to do that. That plant has shown some improvement on their nitrate. They were already doing pretty good. They were inconsistently meeting advanced wastewater treatment standards, and hopefully we can bring that into a consistent manner to get number 3. But anyways, we're just talking about number 2 today, and then on the 22nd of October, we're going to come back to you and talk about WF number 1 and where we are on that process, okay? So, Ed, can you go ahead and talk a little bit?
Yeah, give you a little bit of history. This plant was built in 1972, and in 1992, we did a major upgrade. We increased capacity. At the time, we had a moratorium on the city. We had increased capacity to the plant, so we went from 3 MTD per day to 6.5. And at that time, the 92 aeration process was the upcoming process to go to. The only disadvantage is it doesn't remove nitrogen. Back in the 90s, it was an effective process. And now, in order to get to that process, there's a company that we used at Plant Number 3. Plant Number 3 was built in 2003. And we were able to design that to remove nitrogen. And at the time, there was no requirements, so we designed it at 10 milligrams per liter. But right now, because the plant is a 4 MTD plant, they're running around 2 MTD through it, we're able to get our nitrogen actually at times below 3, which is the target. When it reaches capacity, then it may be up around 5 to 6. So we're going to go ahead and get this one below 3. One of the challenges was we already have an aeration basin. Some of our consultants looking at this said that the best thing to do is just build a whole new one, and we'll just use that as capacity in case it rains, and, you know, any overflows can go to that. And basically, they just wanted to throw that facility away. All that concrete. So we got with Oviedo ourselves, say, hey, is there a process that we can do to remove the nitrogen down to 3 and use the existing aeration basin? And there is. If you look on the first page, like Jeff said, right in the middle of the page, next to the two ponds is our aeration basin. The big rectangular, that's our aeration basin. If you look at the second page, what we're going to do is take this and turn it into basically a carousel. And there's two types of carousels that we go right now. We have a different one now at Plant 3. But because this is longer with these aeration basins, they actually make a hot column carousel that we're able to incorporate. And we just have to take out some baffle walls and do some modifications, but we get to keep our basins. If you look at the third page, which is the second aerial, to kind of drill in what does it look like with the four basins. Right now we have 3 basins, but in order to remove the nitrogen, we have to build a 4th basin and extend the current basins 28 feet out. So we got to build more tankage and add an extra basin. So we'll have 4 basins in the process. And if you look on the last 2 pages, basically there's 2 carousel systems, fold over design and hot dog design. We have the fold over design at Plant 3. That's the process we have in carousel. And then we'll be going to the hot dog carousel at Plant 2. But we're confident with working with Oviedo that we'll be able to achieve it, and we'll be able to use our existing basin, which will save us a lot of cost. We're hoping to save anywhere from $2 to $3 million on the cost just by using the existing basins.
We had estimates up to $54 million when we first started looking at that, and now we're down to around $12 million to get this done. The most important part of this, and I think the takeaway from here, is that we're going to get some help, and Daryl's going to come right up and talk about that. But the most important thing is that we're going to be able to do this without putting the city in any more debt. And I think that's because we're using reserves to do that. We're not going to put any more debt on the city. And a lot of cities are going to have to do that because, you know, they have to keep up with R&R. I'm not saying that we're great. I'm just saying that, you know, we're lucky enough here in the city that we have those reserves that we're using, so we don't have to bring any debt. Derek, can you want to talk about that?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
You won't take that long. We talked about cost of building the plant. The plant's going to cost approximately $12 million.
That's our latest estimate, $12.144 million to get built. That's going to give us a capacity of about 6.5 million gallons a day, and that's our current capacity, so we wanted to maintain that. There was some suggestions about making it smaller, making it larger, but we wanted to be sure that, we wouldn't end up in a situation that we were in the 90s when we were under moratorium, which basically means that Mark can't bring any more customers into the city, you can't bring any more industry to the city, because you don't have enough sewer capacity to take care of the customers. So they can limit all your development, we don't want to put the city in that situation. So once we got to the $12 million mark, we went to DEP and to St. John's to see if we could get some relief. The number they wanted us to get to was about 3 milligrams per liter, which some of the folks who went to high school before, the 90s, parts per million, milligrams per liter, same thing. They have offered to give us $3.8 million, $1.9 from St. John's River Water Management District, and $1.9 from the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. It's a real good document coming forward. They sent us the draft. We've modified the draft. They will be voting on it in the next few days, next couple of weeks anyway. And they want us to get our council to approve accepting the grant based on us spending the money and them reimbursing us the money after we spent it. They've given us 24 months to get the plant built, which put a little bit of stress on the group for designing it and making sure we can make this happen in two years. We originally planned on doing it over a 3.5 to 4 year time frame, but we've got to push forward and get this done in 24 months. But we will need for approval to go forward with the grant application for the state. And we anticipate we'll have that to you by the 17th. That's where our goal is. Worst case that comes in, lie at October 1st, around that time frame, we can get back to Tallahassee. So we can start writing checks for the design, development, and quickly how we did.
So, Darrell, just to clarify, the obligations of the city to accept the grant is to meet the three liters?
Milligrams per liter.
Milligrams per liter at the end of the project. That's the target, the 3 milligrams.
Yes, in 2 years.
In 2 years.
In 24 months. And
the beauty of the project, and we were able to tell DEP this, is because we have 3 basins now, we'll be able to stage construction so that we'll be able to meet that 3 milligrams per liter while the project is still going on. Right now, 2 basins can handle all the flow. So we'll keep 2 basins going, build the 2 new basins, put them online, and when we go to take the existing 2 offline, we'll be meeting the 3 milligrams per liter, so we can meet that before the deadline. So that was kind of the unique of the design of the project.
Yeah, some of the information that you saw in the paper was about 600,000 pounds of nitrogen to be removed out of the system. That's at maximum flow, 6.5 million gallons a day of flow. I think that was about 30 milligrams per liter of nitrogen going out of the system right now. So if we get it down to 3, and we were running a max flow, it would be that huge number, 600,000 pounds of nitrogen being removed out of the system before it impacts the spring. So doing it in a day as your design, within 12, 18 months, we expect to have those results, and DEP should be satisfied with us.
I did have one question. Somebody called me from, I think it was the Florida Specifier, their national, a state newspaper, and they had asked me, they said that Tallahassee's going and doing a project similar to yours, but they're spending $200 million to do that project. It's not the same. They're actually just reinventing their whole plan. You know, while we're just modifying one aspect of our plan currently, they're modifying their whole plan. They're putting in a whole new buildings for dryers and all kinds of things, their electrical systems, antiquated. So there's a lot of things that they were having to do that over the years we've been able to ramp up, you know, to get ready for this. There's quite a bit of work that's gone on in the past few years to get us to a different space. So we've been, you know, every year we do a little bit of that plan. And this is just a big push to get us down the nitrates.
So. Thank you. I appreciate that. Any questions from council? The last thing I have is just to give you a gentle reminder about Friday morning's bid protest. That will be at 10:15 in the council chambers, Friday morning at 10:15. Also, just a side note, I met with Larry Novak last night, pretty banged up, but he's on the mend. He'll be in the hospital, I believe, through tonight or tomorrow. As you know, he had an accident falling from a ladder, busted his elbow up pretty good. And of course, falling from a height from that he was, it's pretty miraculous that he only busted his elbow up. So he's on the mend, and look forward to having him back probably next week. Madam President, we'll turn the time back over to you. He is. Monroe.
Do you all have any comments or questions? We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Angel.
Let me get this right. In the bid protest, Jimmy Gooding will be representing council, and Robert Batson will be representing staff.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all being your